Morning. Open up to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. As we've been looking at this last few months, talking about making a difference, our theme for this year is making a difference. And we talked about some different Bible characters that made a difference. We talked about how Jesus Christ made the greatest difference in our life. We also looked about how why the Bible makes a difference in some people's lives and why the Bible just doesn't make a difference in other people's lives a few weeks ago. And then last week, we looked at about making a difference through our talents. This morning, I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture, and it might be the most important one as we've looked at, is making a difference through prayer. Making a difference through prayer. Praying is something that we all can do. Praying is something that we all need to do. And it seems like that sometimes in our lives, it's just that prayer doesn't seem important. And if we get to put the perspective out there, you know, even if we do pray some, our prayers, they don't get answered like we think they should. Well, I like to look at this story this morning. I like to look at this passage of Scripture about a woman who got her prayer answered. I know we went through the book of 1 Samuel last year in the spring and summer months. I know we looked at the passage of Scripture sometime, I believe it was during the month of April last year. But in this story, I want you to see some key important reasons how we can make a difference through prayer. How is your prayer life? One preacher put it, all our problems is a prayer problem. Reasons why we don't live as we should, or we don't do things that we should, is because we don't pray enough. And there are a lot of different reasons why people don't pray. One of the reasons is pride. We like to think we can handle things on our own. We don't like to feel like we have to go to God for every little thing. Another reason is because of lack of unbelief. We believe in God, that God can save our souls from hell, but we don't believe that God is really interested in answering our prayers. Or we might not verbalize it, but we live our lives that way, don't we? We live our lives not praying. We live our lives facing decisions without really going before God and seeking God's face and living according to what His Word says. But I think probably one of the biggest reasons why people don't pray like they should today is because they're busy. We all live busy lives. Well, I'm sorry, most of us live busy lives, and our schedules are so jam-packed and so full that we never know when exactly we're going to find time to pray. But if we're too busy to pray, one preacher put it this way, you're too busy not to pray. Because if you've got to live a busy life, there are a lot of things we need to bring before God, and we need God's help. We need God to teach us and show us. So maybe you've been living a Christian life, like we discussed a few weeks ago. Bible's not making any difference in our lives. The Bible just not making the impact. And we showed you the Bible can make a difference. We stopped negotiating with God. We looked at back with Adam and Eve, and we showed how Eve began to think that God's word was, whether it was negotiable, whether or not she had to listen to it. And we began to see how she began to think that God was taking some fun away from her, that she knew better than God, and she did not let the word of God affect her heart. And because of that, we saw what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. We saw what happened through mankind because of that. This morning, I really honestly believe that if you're a child of God this morning, if you're here and you're saved on your way to heaven, you can make a difference through your prayer life. And when we see this story this morning, there's some important key factors I want you to take a look at, and I want you to have running through your mind, is this why I'm not making a difference in my prayer life? Most of you know the story. Those that were here on Wednesday nights, which is probably maybe half of you, know the story maybe a little bit familiar better than other ones. Now, and because of that, we won't go through every single detail about the story. It took us a year ago to go through this, or a year and a half ago to go through this, and this we're just going to put in one message. There is one little thing I like to draw out to a greater attention to you than anything else. In this story, you see Eli, who is the high priest. He's sitting by the post, watching people praying. And then you see Hannah, a woman who is broken, a woman who is burdened, pouring out her soul before God. You have one who is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the nation of Israel. Religion is who he's supposed to be, the high priest of the day. Many people even think the judge during that time and during that day and time. And during this day and time is a time of great wickedness. Nation of Israel probably has gone farther than they have ever gone so far up to this point in time in history. The Bible says in Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king of Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's how wicked things got. If you go back to the last couple of chapters of the book of Judges, man, you'll cringe from some of the things you read, because everybody was doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. And this is what is wrong with America and society today. Everything's okay as long as you think it is okay. And because of that, we've gotten as a nation to believe that abortion is okay, and homosexuality is okay, and other things that go contrary, completely contrary to the Word of God, is just fine and okay. Why is that? It's because it's okay in somebody else's eyes. It's okay in somebody else's mind. So that makes it okay. And see, that's what happened in the book of Judges. They did what was right in their own eyes, and it was one of the darkest days. I mean, darkest days in the nation of Israel's history. Maybe the darkest day comes on the scene just a few years later. It talks about how there was no open vision, meaning that God was not speaking to anybody. God wasn't speaking to Eli. God wasn't speaking through the prophets. God wasn't speaking through the nation's leaders. And it talked about even at the place where they would come to meet God, come to worship God, the tabernacle. It talked about how Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, would cause people to become so angry and so upset that they abhorred. They hated even going to church, because of all the wickedness that was involved at the place where they were supposed to meet God, the place where they were supposed to worship God. So you get to a little bit of the story there. It's a really, really dark time. It is a really, really wicked day. It is a day and time where Israel is just living for themselves. God's chosen people living for themselves, doing whatever they think is right. People getting drunk, people having sexual relationships and things like that around the house of God. I mean, it is a wicked, wicked time. You know, if we live in that day and that time period, we would think that the high priest, the guy who was supposed to be the spiritual leader of Israel, where would he be at? He would be on his face, crying out to God, pouring out his soul to God. But in this story, you have him sitting by a post, and you have a woman that's pouring out her heart to God. Amen. See, I believe Hannah, who is the lady's name, I believe Hannah made a difference in her prayer life because of the fact that she went to God with her burden. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure Eli was not happy with the spiritual state of the day. I'm sure Eli thought it would have been much better if people would have started living for God. I'm sure Eli probably was burdened for the fact that the nation of Israel was going wrong, for the fact that his sons were doing so much wrong. But we see one person begging God, and we see another person sitting and not doing anything. I'm wondering if the reason why we don't make a difference in our prayer lives is because we have so many people that are sitting like Eli instead of people that are on their knees before God, praying, weeping, begging, and seeking God's help. You know, we're talking about, I know it's a different form. We're in a church. This is at the tabernacle. And we see that there is some place that they come to worship. This is the place where we come to worship. And we look at the nation we live in today, and we know that is many times, in many ways, good becoming anti-God, becoming anti-Christ, becoming anti-Bible. And we see that many people are living and doing what's right in their own eyes, just like back in the day of Judges. But we see too many of us acting like Eli, just sitting. Oh, yes, we would love to see revival. We would love to see people get right. We would love to see America turn back to God. We would love to see people get saved. We would love to see God just come in and take over and work. But just like Eli, many of us are sitting and watching while others pray instead of being like Hannah, where we are moved with our burden so much that we're willing to pray. This morning, when we look at this story, I want you to see these two characters. I want you to see the one that's supposed to be the spiritual leader, sitting in the place where they come to meet God, sitting in the place where they are supposed to worship God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not condemning Eli, because to be honest with you, most of us are probably like Eli. He didn't like what his sons did. He even came and talked to his sons, but he didn't do anything to restrain his sons for what they were doing. I'm sure he had a burden. And if you look at the text, besides the fact he didn't take care of his sons, Eli seemed like he was trying to do the best he could in a wicked day and time, which I think would probably characterize most of us, isn't it? We're trying to do the best we can when there's a bunch of wickedness all around us. We're trying to live right and do what's right, even though maybe our family doesn't, maybe though we don't stand up for God as much as we should. And we even have a burden. We even like to see things change. But most of us aren't making a difference in our prayer life because we're the Elis of the world sitting and watching. We're the Hannahs of the world. They're before God, begging Him, asking Him for help. What would your prayer life be like today? Like the Elis or like the Hannahs? Let's go ahead and look at what it says here. And for sake of time, we're not going to go through every portion of the passage of Scripture. I'm going to go and look here, verse number, chapter, 1 Samuel, first book of Samuel, chapter number 1, verse number 2. And it talks about here, it says, and he had two wives. Now, the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. So this man wanted to do what was right. Her husband wanted to do what was right. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, why is that mentioned there? It's because it's giving you the idea of what's going on. It's showing you that the wickedness that's going on at the tabernacle. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her wound. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to just come to you. Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to pray. What a privilege it is to be able to come to you. Lord, the Bible says we can boldly come to you. Lord, that we may find grace. Lord, what we're looking for today is for you to help us understand how we can make a difference in our prayer lives. Too many of us feel like our prayers are not getting answered. Too many of us feel like our prayer life doesn't make a difference. Too many of us are feeling like we just don't see the need to pray. Lord, through this story, I ask that you speak to hearts today. You break up that fallow ground, Lord, when it comes to our prayer lives. And Lord, you speak to each of our hearts, including mine, about our need and our dependence to pray to you. Lord, I ask that you help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see, first of all, I want you to see Hannah's condition. This woman here, she's going to get her prayer answered, but first, before she ever gets her prayer answered, she has to see and understand her condition. Her condition was one of being barren, means that she could not have children. Not only was she barren, she was also broken. You look here in verse number 6, you see it, and her adversary, which is referring to the other woman, her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her wound. It's what it's saying is this Peninnah, this Elkanah's other wife, made her fret, mocked her, laughed at her, because she had children and Hannah did not have children. This woman is barren and she is broken. She has this heavy cloud that's darkening her home and her spiritual life. I believe this is a lesson we can learn. There is many spiritual, in a spiritual sense, are barren and unfruitful. But there are few that will acknowledge this condition. There is few that will stand up and say that I'm barren in my Christian life and allow this to break us and allow this to burden us. She also was burdened. I know she was burdened because she did not have a child, but I believe not only was she burdened because she did not have a child, but you look the way she asked for this child, I believe she was burdened for her nation at the same time. Here, as you go in the story, you see in verse number 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post. This is the one of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. Her heart was broken. She was bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. When's the last time that your prayers had tears attached to them? We want to make a difference in our prayer lives. We want to make a difference in the world we live at. And one of the greatest ways that we are enabled to make a difference is through our prayer lives. And the Bible says that her prayer was attached with tears. Verse number 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, I want you to get this here. I believe that she is going to God and saying to God, I know what the state of Israel needs. Israel needs a deliverer. Israel needs a man that will stand up and live for God. Israel needs somebody, and I need a man too. So what happens? She wants a son. She aligns her desires up with God's desires. She begins to cry out to God. She begins to beg God. Now, you say, well, where do you get that at? Why else would she have offered to give the son back to God if she was not concerned for her nation? Why else would she have offered to take this Nazarite vow for her son before the son ever came if she was not interested in her nation? And I want you to see that she was broken and she was barren and she was burdened. But the difference here is Hannah prayed. Eli, he had a burden. We have a burden. But the difference here, we see, what does Hannah do? This burden causes her to pray. This burden moved her to weep. It says in verse number 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. I want you to see this, and I want you to get this point. This burden, this brokenness that she had, this desire she had, this caused her to go before God. This caused her to go before God and kneel before God and beg to God. And it says, wept sore. It's something that it made a difference in her life because she was willing to weep before God. And you see her in verse number 12, and it came to pass that she continued praying. You know, she didn't just go and say to God, okay, God, I want a son. If you give me a son, I'll do this for you. And got up and left. No, she continued on praying. And so often we say we got a burden. So often we say we have a need. So often we have something that we want to make a difference in our lives. And we'll come to God and we'll pray to God once. We'll pour out our heart and pour out our soul one time. And we'll say, okay, I did my job. I'm done. And walk away. But that's not what Hannah does here. What does it say in verse number 12? And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. She's asking God to look at her. She's asking God to consider. She's continued on praying. Her burden with her burden, asking once was just not enough. Christian, I don't know about you, but we all have things in this world that we want to make a difference in. We all have maybe family members, maybe husbands or wives that we want to make a difference in, children's lives that we want to make a difference in, churches' lives and workers' lives and our community or our nation's lives. We want to make a difference. We're burdened and brokenhearted about it. But does that burden take us to the point where we're willing to pray? Not only just pray, pour out our soul before God. Not just pour out our soul before God, but continue on praying till God hears and answer your prayers. You see, it doesn't even stop there. You continue on. It says in verse number 13, and verse number 12, it says, and continue praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Eli takes notice. Where's Eli at? Eli, who has a burden, who is the spiritual leader of the day, the man who should have been on his face also, right next to Hannah, praying and begging God, he's there and he's watching other people pray. And he turns around and he looks at that and he says, he goes and marks her mouth and says in verse number 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. So she's there, and like probably most of us when we pray, we instead of speaking verbally when we're in a public place, many times we'll pray and we'll just move our mouths. But you know what that's saying is she's praying with a passion. She is not only is she's persistently praying, she's continually praying. This burden meant so much to her. She was willing to pray and was willing to keep on praying, but she is praying with a passion. She is praying with such a passion that the spiritual leader of the day, the high priest of the day, looks at her and says, there's something wrong with that woman. There's something I see in that one I have not seen in anybody else. She must be drunk. Now, this is a sad, sad day and time of affair that they live in. You see, back then, people used to come to the temple drunk. People used to come this daytime in this period, and they used to do wicked things in the temple and around the temple. Hophni and Phinehas was a part of it. And it was such a dark, dark day. And you see that save everything, so things are getting so bad. Eli is just sitting there and he's watching this woman pray. He says, man, that woman is drunk. The sad thing was she was pouring her soul out to God. And the sad thing was Eli had not seen it for a long, long time. That when it came, he didn't even know what it was. He was the spiritual leader of the day, but he could not imagine, he could not even consider that somebody would be praying their heart out like that because he hadn't done it for such a long time. You know, Christian, sometimes it's scary to think that we turn around, we look at people and we wonder, what's wrong with them? when all they're doing is pouring their heart out to God, when all they're doing is serving God. Amen. And it doesn't even reason into our mind that they're trying to get close and trying to be burdened. Instead, we're like the Elis of the world. We sit, we look. Oh, it's good they're going to the altar. I wonder what they're doing. And we watch and we talk about other people. You know, we say, oh, I got that burden, pastor. I got that burden, preacher. But just like Eli, what are we doing? We're sitting. See, the person who made a difference in their prayer life was the one that was there pouring out her soul before God. The person that was willing to be burdened so much, it took her to her prayer. Now, Eli, he was burdened. Of course he was. He was the high priest today, and there was wickedness everywhere. Every man was doing what was right in their own eyes. Of course he wanted to see things change, but he was sitting. Oh, Hannah was praying. Church, is that us today? Is that what's wrong with our spiritual prayer lives today? Is that why we don't make a difference in our prayer lives? Is because too many of us are sitting and watching while so few of us are praying. And when somebody gets it and starts giving their life and serving God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind, we turn around like Eli and say, what's going on over there? When we just haven't seen it for a while. You keep on going here. She prayed with passion. You see in verse number 15, you see that she pours her soul out to God. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. She treats him with respect. She doesn't look at him and say, you fool, I'm praying to God, leave me alone. So be careful about getting too spiritual here, you know, and you're hyper-spiritual in your mind. She only cares about God hearing her and God answering her prayers. You see here, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul. Poured out my soul. Look at that. He poured out my soul before the Lord. She was willing to give back the son that she had longed for. It's because she knew the need of the hour. She knew that Israel needed a deliverer. She was in tune with the mind and heart of God. She saw the urgent need. She saw the need for a man of God. She saw the need for another deliverer. I go back and I think about it. You think about the story where the last time when God had worked in a woman's life that was barren and she brought a son forth that was supposed to be the deliverer, that was supposed to be the judge, that destroyed the Philistines, and that was Samson. You go back to that story and you hear the story, and I'm sure Hannah, and wouldn't you, if you were not able to have children and you've heard the stories of the past and you've seen the legends passed down, wouldn't you be interested in the story about Samson's mother? Wouldn't you say there is still hope? And that's when she goes before God and says, God, if you will let me have this child, I'll help finish the work you tried to start before. I'll give him back to you. I'll give him to you all the days. I'll give him to you if you'll just let me. Not only is she interested in herself, she's interested in the things that God is interested in. And this burden and this brokenness and this burden causes her to pray. And as she prays, she's not considering just herself. She says, our nation needs this. And she breaks her heart open and pours her heart out before God. And you remember that story, how the last manifestation of God delivering grace to Israel through a barren woman must have been on her heart as she's considering this and as she's crying out to God. He did it for her, Samson's mother. Maybe he'll choose to do it through me. And I mean, you think about it. She made a difference in her prayer life because she was burdened. But this burden caused her to pray. Not just pray. Pray continually. And not just pray continually, pray with such a passion that had not been seen in years, years in the nation of Israel. And she poured her heart out to God. Third thing I want you to see here is Hannah's faith. You see Hannah's faith here. And you see the story here in verse number 16. It says, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, I'm sure Eli's embarrassed here. You think Eli's like, okay, I'm sorry, you know. So he makes her a promise. It gives a prophecy here. Answer and said, go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And I don't think that Eli's prayer was the one that made the difference there. It was Hannah, the one that poured her heart out before God, that makes the difference in these lives. And verse number 18, I want you to begin to see the faith of Hannah. And she said, "Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman did what did to the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And you know what happens here? You see that before Hannah's prayer is ever answered, she believes God heard it. Amen. She's put her faith in God. She was contented with just laying it before God and saying that was enough. I poured my heart out to God. Now I can continue on. I want you to see a couple things here. I want you to see that when she replaces her brokenness and burden with peace through prayer. You look at this, and it says in verse number 18, he says, "So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad." And what I see here is that she found peace. She found peace by giving her prayer to God. She found peace by pouring her heart out to God. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." You have a woman here who was barren, a woman here that was broken, a woman here that was burdened, and she found rest for her soul. She found satisfaction and contentment in one thing. Nothing else was going to solve this. Nothing else was going to help her find peace. There was nothing that was going to find happiness until she took her problem to God. I'm here to tell you this morning, there is nothing in this world that can fulfill and satisfy you until you're willing to take your burdens there and leave them before God. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If you're going through something this morning and you're overwhelmed, you've got this burden, you're broken about things, bring it to God. Look at Hannah's prayer. Let that burden take you to the spot where you're willing to make a difference in your prayer life. And I'm not just talking about just saying one little short and sweet prayer. I'm saying being willing to do what is necessary, to pray persistently and to pray with passion and to pray completely by emptying out yourself before God and saying, "God, I'm giving it all over to you. And when I give it all over to you, that's all I can do. And when you stand up and you walk away, you have the peace of God in your heart because you've done what you can." If you really want to make a difference in your prayer life, to do what you can and leave the rest up to God. You see the peace of God. You see now this, because she has the peace of God, her countenance has changed. Look at the last four words of verse number 18. Was no more sad. She wasn't sad anymore. She had given her peace over to God. She knew God had heard her prayer, and she knew God was going to take care of things. You look in verse number 19, not only does she do that, but you see in verse number 19, and I like this part probably more than any part of it, it says that, "And they rose up in the morning early." It's not the morning when she had Samuel. It was not the morning after she found out she was pregnant. It was not the morning that that she was dropping Samuel off for the rest of his life at the temple. It was in the morning that after she had poured her heart out to God, left things in God's hands, it says that she worshipped. "And they rose up early in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned." You know, did anything change? Was she already pregnant? Did she already have the child? No. She still had the same burden. She still was still broken. But you know what? Her heart was broken, but she was able to worship God because she found peace. Peace from her prayer life. This morning, I don't know about you, but I know that in my life, I could learn how to pray a little bit more. I don't know about you, but I know there's times and things that I need to pray more about. We need to find more time and more opportunities to go before God in prayer. We want to make a difference, don't we? Isn't that our desire? Isn't that what we want to do with our lives? I mean, you picture that person in your mind that you pray for and that you seek God for, and I want to make a difference in that person's life. I want to see a change. I don't want to just be spinning my wheels. I don't want to just be sitting like Eli, sitting there, knowing there's a problem, knowing that I'm burdened, watching my boys go and do something that's abominations before God. I want to do something to try to help. You know what? All of us can pray. Last week it was about the talents, and I believe all of us do have a talent that we can use. But all of us can go before God as Christians and lay our burdens before God. It's just whether or not we allow our burden to break our heart to go before Him. I don't know about you, but this speaks to my heart. I don't want to be Eli sitting there and watching somebody else pray. I want to be the one there with the burden that causes me to pray. How about you? Are you making a difference in your prayer life? I'm assuming that we're all pretty much made of the same stuff. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, and if you have any desire to please the Lord with your life, you're burdened about something today. You're burdened for your country, you're burdened for your family, you're burdened for your church, you're burdened for something today. There's something that God has been breaking your heart about. If not, then we need to check our own lives and see what we need to change, because there is plenty, if you just look around, that we need to work on. There is plenty. And has that burden taken you to the point where you bring it before God with passion and with persistence, pouring your heart out before God? I can say that probably most of us would say, if we had to choose between the way Hannah prayed and the way that Eli was feeling the situation, probably most of us would say, I'm praying like Eli. I am burdened. I do want to make a difference, but I'm not doing what's necessary to make that difference. You know, the privilege of telling God everything makes the bitterness of soul worthwhile. The privilege of being able to go before God, and even though sometimes it's a heartbreaking situation, and leaving it at God's feet, it's a privilege. It makes it all worthwhile. The psalmist said, trust in Him all the time, at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. He wants to be your refuge. He wants to be the place you turn. Too many times we had that pride issue. What was the three reasons why we don't always pray? It's because of pride. God wants to be your refuge for you. He wants to be that strong tower you run into. Stop trying to fix it on your own. Go to God. Don't be too busy not to go to God. Don't have a lack of faith and not believe that God cares and wants to do something. Sweet to tell Him all He knoweth. Roll on Him the care. Cast upon Himself the burden that we cannot bear. This morning, I'd like for you to look at your condition. I would like for you to get to the spot where we realize that we are barren spiritually without God, cannot do anything but depend and have faith in God, and allow this to burden us and break us to the point where we will begin to pray and try to make a difference in our prayer life like Hannah. We see Hannah's prayer. She allowed this burden to cause her to pray and weep before God. This is when it began to make a difference. She had this burden for a long time, but is when she came before God with this burden is when it began to make a difference. Then she continued in praying. She prayed with passion and poured out her soul. And we saw she continued praying with passion. She aligned her heart's desires with God's desires. See, prayer is not us trying to change God's mind about something. Prayer is God changing us to line up with Him. And when Hannah was willing to line up with God's desires for her heart and God's desire for her life, that is when our prayer begins to make a difference. When we have faith in God has heard our prayers and will answer them according to His will, not always according to what we want, that is when it really begins to make a difference in us. See, when we pray and pour out, that's when it begins making a difference in people's lives. But when we pray believing that God knows what's best, that's when we begin to make the difference in us. That's when the sad countenance became the cheerful countenance. That's when the bitterness of soul became a place where she was willing to worship. She found peace, which changed her countenance and caused her to worship. This caused her to pay back her vows. Most of you know the story. She has a child. She names it Samuel because I have asked him of the Lord. She pays back her vows and she worships God while she pays back these vows and gives her son up for his entire life because it was what was best and what was God's plan was. As we close, are we making a difference in our prayer life? I enjoy seeing on Sunday morning there was some men sitting there, men around the altar praying, and I praise the Lord for that. I encourage you to be a part of that. if you can. Before Sunday school, people praying. That's wonderful. But are we making a difference with our prayers? Are we willing to do what is necessary? Say, Pastor, what do you mean by necessary? Living a clean life to where God can hear from our prayers, God can hear us. Living a life that allows God to burden our hearts for the things of this world, and then that taking that burden before Him and pouring out our soul, praying passionately, persistently, seeking God's will, and allowing God to give us the peace because we've given it all over to Him. This morning, we talked about your condition. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have a burden. But I also want to consider for a second your condition if you're here today and not saved. Hannah could go to God because it was her God. You cannot go to God unless you're a child of His. You cannot take your burdens before the Lord and pray passionately and persistently and pour your heart out to God until the first prayer is, God, please save me. How do you see that you have that condition, that need, is by saying, I know I'm a sinner. I know that because of my sin, I'm eternally separated from God, and I need something to pay my sin debt. And I realize that Jesus Christ came from heaven, came to this world to pay my sin debt for me. I see my condition as a lost person, away from God, eternally separated from God. But when I believe and put my faith and trust that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again to give us hope, to give us the way of eternal life, and I repent of my sins and call out to God and ask Him to save me, that's when you become His child. That is when you begin to pour your heart out about the burdens of life. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, just a minute, we're going to have an invitation time. Invitation time is an invitation for people to come to the altar. They come and pray about many different things. Sometimes it's to get their heart right. Sometimes it's about a certain sin. Sometimes it's a burden that they just got to leave before God. But also sometimes it's because they know that they're not saved and on their way to heaven. And I'll be down front, and I encourage you, if you've never been saved this morning, come forward. Let me have somebody take a Bible. They'll take you in the back in a quiet place, and they will show you straight from the Bible what it means to be saved and on your way to heaven. And ask whatever questions you need to. You can ask whatever, do whatever you need to be comfortable with the decision that God requires us to make if we want to spend eternity in heaven. So if you're here this morning, you're unsaved, let us take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. And if you're here this morning and you are saved, I want you to look deep into your heart. I mean, maybe sometimes some things that we've covered over time and time again. And I want you to go back to that place where you were burdened for somebody or someone or something. And I want you to ask God to give you a heart for the things that He loves, a heart for the things that He cares for. And as He burdens your heart, let that burden take you to a place of prayer. A prayer that is persistent. Not just one little sweet prayer and we're all done and over with, but a prayer that has passion and persistence. If we pour our heart out to God, then we will find the peace of God. That is when we're going to make a difference in our prayer lives for those that are around us. But when we're willing to leave it at God's feet and realize He can do everything for us and He can take care of us, that's when it begins to make the difference in us. Our countenance changes. You know what we do? We worship God. Are you there today? Are you like the Eli sitting there, looking and watching? Or is your heart really, truly burdened to the point that you've got to take it to God? There is no other choice. Let's go ahead and pray.